Ireland fanatic Eddie O'Mahony is not only a passionate supporter of Irish football, he also has created an online museum to display his unique collection of Republic of Ireland soccer jerseys, aiming to preserve one example of every Irish shirt worn by the senior team since our very first game in 1921. The online museum caters for the needs of Irish football historians across the world, and Eddie joins us now live in the studio. Eddie, you're very welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me in.
So, Eddie, obviously, I've met you properly, but I kind of met you online over the past couple of, maybe a year ago or so.
Yeah, it was.
And I came across some great tweets from you about all these Irish jerseys from over the years. And you look back on some of the great ones and some of the let's say, the not-so-great ones, and you go, we've had an amazing home-and-away third jersey. We've had so many amazing soccer jerseys. So what kind of gave you the idea to go, do you know what, we should actually get them all together and see what they look like?
In 2002, I was at the World Cup in Japan, and Stephen Reid gave me one of his jerseys after the game. I came home delighted and I said, listen, somebody, this should be in a museum. I rang people, contacted people. There's no museum for Irish football. So I thought, 21, 22 years of age, I know what I'll do. I'll create my own. And so that little small idea took hold, and I said, I'd love to get the away version of that, and then I'd love to get the next version of that. Mm. And it slowly morphed then 15 years on, where we pretty much have the entire history of the Irish senior football team as told through the shirts they wore.
And where did you get a lot of these shirts? Were these given to you by different people, or did you buy them, or where did they come from?
A combination of both. Some players have been very kind to actually donate the jerseys. For a lot of fans, we would look at a jersey and think it's the most incredible thing in the world to hold. Sometimes the players, you know, it mightn't necessarily mean as much to them. Players' families, sometimes items are donated to charity and they're auctioned off, so I would check there. The internet is a great thing, and of course badgering people as well helps. So I felt that by creating the online museum, it would actually give an audience and give a voice to the fact that there isn't an Irish football museum.
It feels amazing looking at all this and really,
because you brought in we'll go through now in just
I actually feel so delighted just even to be sitting this close to these jerseys. But it's amazing to me that there isn't somewhere where this has been done.
It's, whenever I talk to people, they say, yeah, it's a great idea, but yet it still hasn't happened. The Aviva Stadium, which is incredible, was redeveloped, and somehow there was no museum feature put in, which is an
even for the rugby,
even for the
kind of history.
Nothing.
Either
it's a fantastic modern stadium. It's equipped for everything, but when you walk through it, it's slightly soulless. There isn't any real historical items to say, listen, this was played here, or these were the great players that were played there. And Daly Mount Park is due to be redeveloped in the next couple of years, and I really feel that it's time to push for a proper fit for purpose museum, not only to the fans, but to the players that have maybe been forgotten in some instances, not as famous. And everyone should come together. It's our history, and some of the moments that you spoke about, you know, I can see the reaction that you get when you see them.
Yeah.
Paul McGrath was on the Late Late Show on Friday.
So
all those national moments, they're all in our psyche somewhere. Robbie Brady scoring against Italy last year. Don't tell me some 10 or 15 year old child wouldn't love to see that jersey in the right setting.
There was a group of us even the other night in someone's house having a few drinks, and I don't know how the subject, everyone started talking about Italy 90 and just the hysteria and people driving around with their heads out sunroofs and cars and just are totally getting into this. And when you look back and you see that Opal jersey or something, you just get a little like, well,
speaking of Italy 90, Jenny, you've the goalkeeper one there, because obviously that was my era when I was a 12 year old boy looking
that
at that.
That's Packy
the
Bonner
one
to me.
Packy
when
Bonner,
I look at that, I
gritting
just, like,
his teeth.
Yeah.
And then kind of, you know, get that long goal kick out of his hands for Sheedy to equalise against England. And so in 2002, take it back, when Stephen Reid gave you the jersey, did you feel, do you know what, I should be that someone to create a museum where people can go and visit and look at these jerseys?
As a fan, or as a sort of an 8 or 9 year old in 1988, I lost my heart to Ray Houghton when he scored that goal. You know, you're just hooked. And then the jersey, funny enough, It's the banner that we actually hide behind, and we stand in front of, and the fans wear it, the players wear it, we all look the same, we're all supporting the one team. And when the Irish team is going well, there's nothing like it in the country. You know, you spoke about Italy in 1990, Ray Houghton in 88, 94, Alan McLaughlin, all those great goals, great times, great moments. They're part of the national fabric, for want of a better word, and this is the fabric of the nation.
Yeah. How many jerseys in total do you have? Because obviously we started playing in 1921 as probably called the, what would we have been called then? We would call a different name. I think we're called
The older jerseys, we didn't play a huge amount of games between 1924 and the 30s due to wars and things like that. So a lot of those jerseys will probably be impossible to get.
Yeah.
So as far as I think I can manage, I've nearly every shirt from 1966 to 2017. So there's only a couple of styles missing. So it actually charts the history. And it's not just the shirts, it's the suits the players wore.
Yeah.
The track suits from Italia 90.
So you even had the suits that Jack wore in 88 and 90 and the shirt and tie.
The shirt and tie and all those sort of things.
The famous picture of them meeting the Pope. Do you remember that? Yeah. I actually had that tracksuit as a kid, the green bottoms and the white.
Most kids do. And funny, when I wore the tracksuit actually to one of the playoff games, and Boyle Sports saw me in the stand and it kind of went viral, and they gave me a €50 bet for charity, which they actually honoured and gave €500 to the Irish Cancer Society.
Oh, brilliant.
So the amount of reaction you get when you wear something like this or people see it, it does bring you back to...
Now, where do you store something like this? I mean, I presume it's not just thrown in a drawer at home.
No, all of these would be kept sort of in proper airtight bags with silica gel and stored away from small hands and also all sorts of things. So they come out occasionally, but they're displayed permanently on the website, which obviously you can visit. The most important part about the website is, for myself, it's just being a fan, but it's for fans, and it's free. You can see it 24 hours a day, and most importantly, it's actually dedicated to memory of James Nolan, who passed away in Poland in 2012.
That's right,
young Irish fan who that kind of inspired me even more to do it, because I said to myself, he walked in the shoes that I certainly did in 2002, and it got to me.
Yeah.
And I said, this fella needs to be remembered, and I thought this would probably be a great way to go about it.
Well, are you actively now looking, if anybody's listening today, how we can, create a museum where people can easily access? Let's say there's a place in Dublin City Centre that goes, you know what, we'd love to house this for you.
Listen, I've tried to contact lots of people around the country. It doesn't necessarily have to be in Dublin. There's a huge archive of history here. It could be used for tourism, it could be used for education. It's not about money. I'm not looking for money. This isn't about making money, but certainly we have to find a home for Irish football history somewhere.
Well, I know you've probably been over to some of the UK stuff. I've done the tour at Old Trafford and Anfield and stuff, and the way they kind of collect it all together, from players' old jerseys, their boots, their international caps, the programmes, the medals, and they have you walk into these amazing little rooms where it's all trophy glass and everything's in behind trophies glass. And I remember somebody saying that the likes of Sheringham and people, Giggs, have kind of lent their jerseys and their winners' medals back to Manchester United, and they're displayed.
They're displayed, and I mean, the perfect example, I suppose, is the GAA Museum.
Perfect, exactly. Croke Park. Yeah, it looks amazing.
Wonderful resource to have. And don't tell me that any child from Galway or Roscommon or Cork or anything walks in and sees the great relics, of Christy Ring and the Hurt. It's going to inspire you. You're going to want to play that sport. You're going to want to play in Croke Park. And football in Ireland has to fight for the attention against rugby and other sports. And it's hearts and minds stuff as well. If a young kid sees that and gets hooked, maybe they will commit to playing football. So it's a cross.
Did you meet with the FAI? Did you meet with the Dublin City Council or anybody?
The FAI would be probably well aware of me. I met with Dublin City Council, and they're very kind in explaining the sort of provisional plans for Dalymount, which would be a municipal city stadium. It's going to cost in the region of 26 million. It's going to be funded by central government funds. It's the spiritual home of Irish football. It's in Dublin. It's part of our history. And I just firmly believe that if Dalymount Park, if the focus isn't put on that, to have a fit for purpose museum, it'll probably never happen in this country to football, and that's
a massive shame. Before we run out of time, I want you to rattle through some of the jerseys you have there, because I can see Euro 88 jersey there. I can see Italian 90. So that's actually Liam O'Brien's jersey from Euro 88.
This one here from Euro 88. It had the little small Adidas symbol and the little wire mesh on the side of it. That's Paul McGrath's last ever or sorry, in 1990, that's his World Cup shirt versus Holland.
Well, the white.
This is like Christmas morning for you.
This is ridiculous. That one there, I remember that one because this is. I'm going to say 86. Well, am I right?
Liam Brady's shirt. We're playing Wales on Friday. This is the shirt he wore against
Wales.
That
was my first ever game. Ian Rush scored in that game. Neville Southall broke his ankle.
First game.
Can I say from a fashion point of view?
Jenny, put that in your bag. I want to keep that.
Oh, I'm stick it down. I much prefer the older jerseys. They've just got a lovely style to them.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
Roy Keane should have worn this shirt in
Saipan.
No way.
Or in Japan.
2002. He didn't.
Controversial,
but it's part of our history. And probably the most.
How did you get your hands on that?
Listen.
I think I'll tell you off.
And the most iconic one is Richard Dunn's shirt from the famous game in Moscow in 2011.
When
and
he was unstoppable that night.
Unstoppable,
yeah.
And they actually had to draw the number.
I was going to say, why is the number drawn on the front of it?
Didn't he get injured and there was blood down his original one and they had to put a spare one on him
back on? He had no number on the shirt and the ref told him to go off, so Alan Kelly, the goalkeeper,
still a bit of blood on the end of it. This one is, here.
That's the history. That's, you know, it's blood, sweat and tears. Yeah. It's all there.
There's what I brought. I'll show you my one real quick, Jenny, there behind you. That was my dad's one from you told me the year it's signed by, I kept it, and it's signed by Ronaldinho. A guy, I met him during last year at a soccer raid, and so that year you're telling me
this hasn't been in the wash in a while.
I wear it to bed every night.
That's 1983, so that's a sort of
nearly identical ladies,
the
shirts.
The year after
the exact
I was born
they were made. But you can see what Nicky and his reaction and how much, say, one jersey means to him.
It's a beautiful jersey actually, as
the emotional
well
contact you have when you see it and you remember it. That's the reaction people get when they see these sort of things, and
I saw online you've Ray Tracy's old jersey passed away recently. You've all those old jerseys as well. I mean
that's the sort of thing that people like Ray Tracy, who was very good to me in terms of in 2002. There's Arthur Fitzsimons, who's an ex-Irish international. These sort of players who gave hugely Irish football that mightn't necessarily be remembered, but still committed as much as anyone.
If there's
else.
Somebody, because we've got to go, but if there's somebody here who has their old granddad's jersey who's played for Ireland, or they have it in a drawer and thinking, geez, what do I do with this?
Get it out. Contact IrelandSoccerShirts@gmail.com. We'll come and photograph the shirt. It's a fans archive as well.
Yeah.
And the more people that can contribute and get behind the project, the stronger it'll be.
And if there's anywhere they can help you out in displaying these, it would be amazing.
Display, sponsorship, anybody who thinks this is a good idea or just enjoys
it. It's a brilliant idea, and I genuinely have no doubt that it is going to happen. So thank you so much, Eddie, for coming into us today.
Cheers, Eddie. Eddie, we got to win on Friday?
2-2 draw.
Okay, Eddie, I'm Eddie. Thanks so much to him.